All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
People were like, yeah, when people tune in on YouTube, they just want to start watching something. They don't want to sit through like a 2 minute long intro. That's too much for people these days. Fucking short attention spans. Welcome everybody to Taxation is Theft, the show. The show that talks about the ways the government's ripping you off, broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker deep within the jungles of Mexico. I am Dan Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States. Currently running for governor of Texas. And I'm required by law to tell you that you should not listen to this show if you suffer from IBS, because it will literally make you shit your pants. Luke Wanky is joining me tonight. That is his real name. He's a continental piano tuner for an awesome soundtrack at the Big Luau. Go find him at Peppermint's on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls. He's going to start working there soon, working the polls. As any good politician should. He's also a radical libertarian fanatic with connections to the deep inner workings of the alleged right wing of the Boogaloo, that crazy racist alt-right organization of violent people, and has received secret alien information from their leaders. I'm exaggerating, of course. This is how the mainstream portrays them. Before we get started, I, of course, want to take a quick minute to ask you for your support. Head on over to taxationstheft.cards. Get one of these really awesome hats. Get a really awesome flag. Get really awesome other kinds of stuff that we have on the site. There's really some awesome stuff there. I just realized today that the It's Not Gay If It's TSA shirt, which I created and somebody else made famous by bootlegging my idea, but I'm a libertarian, so I don't sue people over intellectual property. I just realized I don't have that on the site anymore because we just moved to a new site, but I'm going to get that back up there soon. So if you're listening to this on your podcast viewer through iTunes or Google or wherever, by the time you hear this, I might have that shirt there, so you should go get it. I also have the very popular t-shirt that everyone wants right now, which is the Taxes Pay Killer Cops. It's just kind of like this Taxation is Theft logo, but with a thin blue line through it. It's really awesome. The kids love that one. So head over there and get that. And of course, make sure you subscribe, share this with your friends, invite them. If you're watching this live on Facebook, invite them to a watch party, share it on Twitter, retweet, do all that fun stuff that all you crazy kids do, because we've got some important information that you're going to want to be credited for knowing first amongst your friends. Without further ado, Mr. Wanky, welcome.
So, here in the state of Iroquois, we're legally obligated to wear a mask on camera because, you know, COVID kind of travels through reception, but the governor of Iroquois is kind of an asshole, so I'm not listening to him. Oh, wait, I'm the governor of Iroquois.
That's like a really nice Silence of the Lambs mask you got there.
I've had this before COVID started, so yeah, you all know where my interests lie.
where would you get something like that? Because that's
this is from Amazon. You just type in steampunk mask, and there's like 50,000 different options. Everybody that knows me is like, why are you wearing your dog mask in public? It's like, no, it's not a dog mask, it's steampunk. So everyone just kind of assumes the worst of me, and that's my mask.
Yeah, I mean, that's
actually the most breathable. These holes work. It's actually very breathable.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen, and seriously, guys, we are going to get into all this Boogaloo nonsense in Hamas pretty soon, but have you seen this mask that, like, they have, like, these people in this band that, like, they have, like, their flute, and it's like a mask with a hole through the flute for the flute, so that they can play the flute through the mask. And it's like, you're literally, you have like a hole, and like assuming like everybody in the band has corona, they're like, they just have this attachment that is now spraying it in all kinds of different directions. The mask is doing absolutely no good. What the fuck?
At least they're trendy. At least, you know, they're catching up with fidget spinners and all that. So, you know.
Yeah. Oh, fidget spinners. That's a thing of the past. Whatever happened to those? They, like, silently disappeared.
Yeah, just like Trash Dove.
Trash. Yeah, yeah. That's a. I bet purple there's a conspiracy.
That pecked at a furious level. Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. I wonder if there's a conspiracy there. Like, maybe it's the Mandela effect. Maybe it never really existed. All right. So, on to the news. A couple days ago, some of our friends, the Boog Boys, were...
We got my six-year-old brother, Gibson, here. I'm on a show right now. This is my six-year-old brother, Gibson, everybody. He's just kind of... I'm at my mom's house right now. He was visiting my dad. This is Dan Berman, and hey. This is his show. Gibson has a nice Instagram where he follows lots and lots of women, so you can find him on Instagram. Okay, go take
yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'd say boys will be boys, but I think you get stoned for saying that these days.
Yeah, he has a very adult life.
So a couple of weeks ago, our friends who self-proclaimed Boogaloo Boys, as many of our friends are, and I just had one of these Boog Boys on the show the other night, and you know, I mean, you know them, I know them, they're peaceful people, right? They're not out there trying to instigate. They're not out there to create violence or, God forbid, brainwash people into hating each other and create massive public division like the Democrats and Republicans do. They're not out there to shoot people because they didn't use their blinker like the police do. And somehow the public media, the mainstream media, likes to give them a bad name. They like to say that they're alt-right nutcases. They're extremely violent. Oh my God, look how many guns they have. It's nonsense. And so a couple of these guys got arrested. You want to tell the story about this? Because you were closer with them.
Yes. Yep. So, okay, let's start from the beginning. You see two people in this article. It was national. It was on Vice. It was on The Sun. It was everywhere. Michael Solomon and Benjamin Ryan Teeter. Now, Benjamin Ryan Teeter was on the North Carolina Libertarian State Committee, and he was running for state vice chair when I met him on Facebook through the Vermin campaign. So I know him through the Libertarian Party. And just to be open about the type of relationship I had with him, we got to business when we first met. He's 6 years younger than me. You know, everybody knows I do pole dancing, and he was going to pimp me out at the Libertarian National Convention, which would have been in May in Texas. So that's the type of he's 6 years younger than me. I don't know how he got so underground so early, but that's the type of relationship we had. Okay. Several months later, COVID shutdown happened, and then the George Floyd protests happened. When I was doing my national chairman thing, he rushed out from North Carolina to Minneapolis. I was originally going to go to North Carolina while they were walking around with guns. Kathy Griffin tweeted about him and called him punk rock Arafat. So people remember that. I was going to go down there and do something with that national chairman thing. Well, whoosh, they go out to Minneapolis, and the people he went with abandoned him. And I was all upset. I said, that is just so awful. And I have an ability to work whenever. So I just whoosh, went out there, 14-hour drive to Minneapolis. I sent Dan a few pictures. I don't know if he wants to flash anything.
Yeah, let me.
So, yep. So I met Michael out there. Ryan knew Michael. And I never knew Michael before. Michael's 2 years older than me. So originally, these guys they have their guns. They have much more elaborate guns than I've ever owned. I guess guns weren't ever my priority in life, my priority in life. And, you know, the police presence in Minneapolis is little to none. You know, the people don't feel like they're being helped at all. And it was very nice. People were standing outside these parking lots at grocery stores, acting like the police themselves. Every time a car drives by on the road, oh, who's this? There, everyone just aims, and it's an old woman driving by with the groceries. So that's what Minneapolis was like. And Michael and Ryan were they were doing that. They were being voluntary police. This is Michael City. This is not Ryan City. So the day before I left, I'm just going to give a little inside information. The day before I left, somebody saw all my Facebook Live videos. Now, my Facebooks are shut down for people that don't know. If anybody knows a computer hacker, everyone that went out to Minneapolis is considered a terrorist by Facebook. My IP address is jacked. I want my Facebook abilities back. Anybody knows a computer hacker to figure out my situation, find me on Twitter. Oh, my God. Or just text me, 716-257-2645. I want my Facebook abilities need to come back anyways. The day before I left, someone was watching all of my Facebook Live videos from my National Chairman page. And it was this guy named Ahmed. And he said, oh, I would love to help. Oh, I'd love to help. What do I do? And I said, listen, this is not my city. I'm going home. For people that don't know my story out there, I kind of tapped out the night in the Buffalo, New York, Rochester, New York area. Now, people know about Rochester recently, but usually they're pretty peaceful cities. We don't have these type of confrontations in this part of the world. So I walked around without a gun one night in Minneapolis. That's the night I got surrounded in a certain neighborhood and treated like I was some kind of foreigner. Each block in that city was like its own country. People are like ready, aim, fire to the next street over. This Ahmed guy's like, what do I do to help? I said, I'm leaving. Go talk to Ryan. About a week later, Ryan, I kept in contact, and Ryan's like, I think this Ahmed guy has terrorist connections. He's trying to donate lots of money to us. I said, get the hell away from that. And after I complained about that, I never heard about Ahmed again. For people that know this story, they were arrested Thursday for trying to produce suppressors to what they thought was Hamas. Now, I have never heard of Hamas. Call me illiterate or something. I've never heard of Hamas. If you say Al-Qaeda, I've heard of Al-Qaeda. I've never heard of Hamas. It is an older Palestinian organization, and it's there to just kind of screw with Western culture. So this guy that I was like, hell no, if he has terrorist connections, get away from him. I never wanted these cities to pillage themselves and fire and brimstone. I never wanted these riots to happen. Police yourselves, sure, let's talk about that. No, not if one person gets killed by a police officer, you don't return fire by nuking an entire skyscraper. No. So I was saying, no, get the hell away from this person if you think they're a terrorist. And yes, the guy was Muslim, and I have Muslims in my own family. So I was trying not to be racist. I don't have to try. I am not. But I was told that this guy had potential.
Sure. I'm not racist. Some of my best
Mexican
friends are Muslim.
Nobody loves Mexicans more than me. I love Mexican people. So I was saying to Ryan, get the hell away from this person. I never heard about the person from June until last week. Michael and Ryan were... This is my thing. These are good people, okay? Michael has a house and a truck. He has his life together. Ryan is very motivational. Yeah, he has this underground kind of vision of how he wants to live life. But these are good people. They would not have protested at this level if this stupid shutdown had never happened, if we didn't overreact to COVID. We have to sympathize with people who hate government at a level. Even people like us don't hate it, like just at the fire and brimstone level. So these are very vulnerable people. I was upset about this Ahmed guy trying to dangle $100,000+ over Michael, Ryan, and all these other boogaloo people. I said, Ryan, get the hell away from this person. So they obviously kept in contact. And I'm reading things in this news article that I never knew before, but... You know, when you're a vulnerable person and everything around you, like in Minneapolis, is just fire and brimstone, you're going to get caught up in the culture of what's going on around you, as I did, and which is why I tapped out and said, this is not my city. I'm out.
Wait. Hold on a second. Because you're saying you're reading this article and you're learning new things from this article. And I have a hard time with that because so for example, I had a friend who was charged with, he's a lawyer. And he was charged with bribing judges for some drug cartel kingpin. Here's what really happened. There was an FBI snitch who went to my friend, who introduced him to this kingpin, And the snitch was the one trying to make the bribes. Nobody was actually even trying to make bribes, but the snitch was the one offering to the kingpins, we'll do the bribes for you. My friend, who tried to turn in the FBI snitch, got charged. So, like, and this is, like, this is, those are the charges. This is how they put
the dynamics of who's who. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm reading the articles last week, and this person who Michael and Ryan thought was Hamas, and I just, my mind immediately went back to this Ahmed character that I led to Ryan myself, and so I have literally felt awful for the past week. I seem ecstatic right now, but this has been like, I don't ever get traumatized over anything. I've been very emotionally traumatized over this because I led this person to Ryan, and part of me is like, was this an undercover all the time? You know what I mean? Or was this person actually a terrorist big money donor who the FBI then clamped down on and said, hey, if you kind of pay us, go get these two vulnerable people who were at the grunt level of all of this destruction going on out there. So yeah, I don't know. And I guess there's recorded phone calls of them wanting to blow up a courthouse and they're going to take over government. Yeah, don't we all want to do that? So don't we all?
I've said that shit a million times.
Listen, I drive down, like, you know, the highway in New York State, and I'm just looking at the state troopers, like, the New York State troopers, like, why are we not our own state? Just kind of surround their car and ship them off to New York City. So we all have some kind of vision of just some triumphant video game like takeover of the earth. We all have that go through our mind at some level.
Wasn't that the OJ trial, like, didn't he have, like, there were recordings of him saying, I'm going to kill this bitch, or I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Right. To her,
don't
on her voicemail.
I'm going to kick your ass. I was 6 years old.
That is not criminal. That's, if anything, let people say something, right?
The free speech. Got it. Free speech was a crime. I'd be getting the electric chair. So yes, I'm reading the article. The FBI, I guess this person who I think was this Ahmed character, was sitting down with Michael and Ryan at the casino, and he was literally exchanging suppressors with them. So it's like dealing drugs. You have to get caught in the act before you get addressed, before you get caught or whatever. You have to accept money as payment for sex before they can actually catch you. You can't just kind of talk about it. They have to have this evidence. So part of me is like, really, Michael and Ryan, you had to do business with any Joe that came up to you. But I apparently this person exchanged suppressors with them. And so that's the evidence. And, oh, what are we going to do with these suppressors? We're going to make millions funding Hamas, and we're going to just take over this city. We're going to end the United States government. So they clamped down on Michael and Ryan by getting all of this, these months long of dynamics going on. And so it makes me upset because obviously this person, I think that it was, I think this was an undercover all the time. And to create a make-believe crime and clamp down on people like this who are very vulnerable. And yeah, we all have visions of doing destructive things from time to time. Michael and Ryan didn't do anything. They talked about it and they had grandiose plans. They talked about over the phone on the article. I haven't heard these conversations. Okay. That's what upsets me. Creating a crime and leading them into something. And yeah, I mean, hey, I'm a gun rights absolutist. I think people should have guns. And to sit there and say, oh, these suppressors that they're giving me, the undercover FBI agents, these are going to be used to destroy the United States government and install Palestinian rule. Now, and I'm going to be very fair. You know, Ryan is gay. Michael has a woman, I think. The idea that you'd kind of, it's not anarchistic to go with Hamas. This is a form of statism that is much more elaborate. And we're all hypocrites at some point. We don't want to support big statist organizations. I'm the one that wants upstate New York to be a state. I want to replace it with minarchy. I'm a little disappointed that they would consider Hamas, but I do not like this idea of dangling shiny objects over vulnerable people, which is what happened with Michael and Ryan. And tomorrow is the hearing. There's a, I guess there's an online, people look this up, there's an online to determine whether or not Michael and Ryan get bail. So if there's bail, I will do what I'm not like a millionaire, but I will do what I can to find the jury information.
Yeah, or the online hearing. Is it online, public, or you can Google it.
You can Google it. You can find the court information. You can find the who the magistrate is, who the lawyer is.
They're all over the article.
According to my research, Ryan and Michael are being kept at the U.S. Marshal's office in that county where Minneapolis is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a United States level marshal. What the hell do I know? I guess I thought marshal was a Seneca Nation of Indians thing like we have here. So they're being kept there. And tomorrow the jury, it's a detention hearing, I think is the terminology they're using. This is to determine whether or not there will be bail. My God, I hope there's bail. And if you think about it, it's kind of in the government's best interest to set bail. I mean, they're kind of broke these days with all the stuff going on. And you'd think they'd, if they're going to tax everybody in profit, you'd think they'd want to set bail, even if it's $100,000. So if there's not bail, I don't know what I'd probably just get all upset all over again. But tomorrow, I think 10 in the morning, their time is when we find out if there's bail for them.
Texas man turned wannabe ISIS fighter.
What are you fighting?
Okay. This is how ridiculous this is, man. Okay, so this is what? Foxnews.com. Texas man turned wannabe ISIS fighter pleads guilty to terror charges. No, this has to be something else.
Wannabe ISIS fighter?
This is how terrible this is. There's no.
Okay, here, so this is another case of people just talking about how they're going to be some kind of criminal organization, grunt level, like in a goddamn 1920s cartoon in a truck. Now people just have visions of themselves doing that, and so the FBI is clamping down on people that just simply have visions of doing this, and they're arresting them on terror charges. If this Texas thing you found sounds just like that,
I don't know how I have this thing set up. Anyways, a lot of people are listening to this on podcast, so they can't even see this. I'm just gonna read it. You'll have to pretend you're listening to the podcast. So Foxnews.com, right? This is it. This is published 3 days ago. DOJ charges Boogaloo Boys. Wow, they spelled it B-O-I-S. With attempting to support Hamas in terror case. And then further down it says...
To support Hamas. And let's just remind people that it was not actually Hamas. And actually, Hamas actually came out and said, nope, we don't associate with these two. The Hamas that they were trying to assist was just an undercover
Texas man turned wannabe ISIS fighter pleads guilty to terror. Oh, is this like a link to a different article? This is, wow.
Yeah, okay. This Texas thing is totally something different. I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
No, but they have this. I wish you could see this. This is like... It's in the middle of the page as if it's a subheading for the next section of the article. And really, it's a link to, like, this is, I guess, how they get fucking sneaky about clickbait and making you click on links. But this is how misleading this is, because you're sitting here reading this, and, like, to the average normie who's like, oh, my God, Hamas, oh, and ISIS, too. Like, this is all the same shit. It's all...
When you know the people involved that... Who's ever known anybody to have federal charges? Nobody. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I do. So, yeah. And so they're describing Boogaloo as far right. No, it is literally a fusion of everything all at once. All funneled by this shutdown, angering people because it affects their personal lives and their economics. The news article kind of dictates something with a broad brush. And for those of us that actually know the people involved, it just makes us even more upset day after day.
Assistant Attorney General Demers.
Let me tell you. I had a very difficult time sleeping. When you know people involved in something like this, I mean, when I was going to school here in Salamanca, New York, we had so many teachers touching kids. And so, yeah, it was like, whoa, when we were kids. This terror charges is like worse when you know somebody from the personal point of view. I just want, I could not sleep Thursday night. I irrationally drove off to New York City the next day. Listen to the state of mind this put me in. On Friday, I rushed to New York City, 5-hour drive. I booked a hotel room for myself at the Holiday Inn, $300. I took a shower, put myself in. I walked to Fox headquarters, CNN headquarters, New York Post headquarters. I was determined to get my story out. Of course, they don't care. And then I was going to go to Milo Yiannopoulos' studio, which I found, but it was Labor Day weekend. He wasn't going to have a show. And I remember I booked my hotel room. I took my stuff, gave the hotel back my card keys, and I went back home that night without even sleeping in the hotel. That is the – I am not an irrational person like this on a normal basis. That is the state of mind that's put me in because I know people with these charges.
So yeah, it's – I mean, okay, so here's another thing,
if,
right?
So if people are listening – if you're saying people are listening to the podcast, go find me on Twitter because my Facebooks are shut down because Facebook thinks I'm a terrorist. I'm innocent, okay? The proof is there. I'm innocent. I'm not the one trying to deal with Hamas. And I am disappointed about that, but the sting operation method of this is upsetting to me. Just find me on Twitter, at Luke M. Winky, and you'll see my railing on about this a few days ago. Boom, boom, boom. I was so upset. I was much more emotional than I am right now. So that's what I've been going through.
There's this concept.
I'm not the one in prison, but.
Hang on. There's this concept of a legal impossibility, and from what I understand, okay. So let's say a police officer wants to set up a sting operation, and they want to charge somebody with attempting to buy stolen property. So a police officer sets up sting operation. He has like some car stereos, and he attempts to sell them to somebody and says, "Hey, these are stolen car stereos. Would you like to buy one?" The person says, "Yes. Here's the money." They go and arrest this person. This is considered, unless these car stereos are actually stolen, it is what's considered an illegal impossibility. And so these people cannot be charged. So if the police wanted to actually do something like that, they would have to actually have stolen car stereos. Where do they get those from? The evidence locker, of course. So they would have to actually sell so that they could go into court and say this person attempted to purchase a stolen car stereo instead of saying this person attempted to purchase what he thought was a stolen car stereo because there's actually no crime in that. So now with that same thinking, if they were trying to sell something to somebody who they thought was Hamas but was not Hamas, was actually the FBI, then it's an illegal impossibility. Their only crime was selling suppressors to the FBI. Now, that might have been a crime on its own.
And if you read the article, there's nothing. If you read the article, there's nothing on the charges of selling suppressors. All the charges are based on attempting to assist terrorist organizations.
And this is the bullshit that they do. This is what I saw with my other friend. And keep in mind, my other friend who was charged with this whole big kingpin operation, he beat all of these charges. All of these charges went away except for money laundering and some other like bullshit kingpin law. Apparently, you have to ask the government for permission if you want to defend somebody now. All this bribery, all this other bullshit that was going on, all those charges, he was acquitted because it was all total bullshit that they just made up. And this is, I can guarantee you, these guys right here, they're expecting them not to have the money to be able to put on a $500,000 show with like some really expensive lawyers. And wasn't there a fundraiser for them? Or was that somebody else? Was there a fundraiser for them that got shut down? That was somebody else.
The people I know?
I'm thinking about the...
That was another one. Yeah, I don't know. Since we brought that up, I mean, like I said, if people... Tomorrow is the jury hearing for Michael and Ryan. If there's not bail, I'll probably do something even more irrational. I hope there's bail. If you want to kind of reach out to me so I can leave, if you are willing to pitch your 2 cents, even if we can, if there's a bail amount set of $100,000, I'm prepared to kind of let's figure out how to make this happen. Just find me on Twitter at Luke M. Winky because this is personal to me. And, you know, I feel bad for all the other people who are being imprisoned for ridiculous reasons. I don't personally know them. And like you know these people that you're talking about, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I hung out with these guys, and they seemed, you know, they seemed to be the same. I guess there were some other guys that said they might have been, I don't know. There's a lot of hearsay going
normal,
around.
Normal, sane people who actually have good intentions. I have faith in the human spirit that we all are good people. Normal, sane people. Michael has a house and a big old truck, and so they have delusions of, oh, we're going to do this and this, and then they're clamped down on, and they're treated like criminals when they didn't even do anything, and all based on an environment that government shut down everything, making things worse for people. We should do a count. Has this saved more people that could have died from COVID, or has it ruined more lives between the unemployment and the people going through prison and the people dying of other things?
And the suicides. Nobody's counting.
My grandmother, yeah, the suicides. My grandmother died in, what, April? For people that don't know, she was in the nursing home. She did not have COVID. She died because, here in New York State, you can't leave your room to go visit someone down the hall. You are totally isolated. She's been bedridden for 7 years. She dies during the COVID shutdown when she can't even leave her room. She's miserable and lonely. Come on. Her 93-year-old uncle, who is local here, had COVID and lived. This shutdown has destroyed more lives than it has helped.
No, it's absolute nonsense. I hate to go off on a tangent for a minute, but one of the, there was a guy talking about the, he was a doctor or like some sort of like medical researcher. And he was talking about why there are so many false positives with COVID. And basically it's like a bell curve, right? You take a sample, you throw it in the machine, whatever, however they test it. And there's whatever it is, there's a chance that it's wrong, right? And so like you have, let's say you have 50 positives and 50 negatives, and you throw them all in there, you're going to get a bell curve, right? And so you can change the sensitivity of the test. And the way he was explaining it is the tests were, so you've got the bell curve, right? And if you shift, like, everything left of this line is going to be negative and everything to the right is going to be positive. If you shift the line to the left, that means everything on that bell curve, more of the stuff on the bell curve is positive. And he said the reason they did that is because they wanted to be absolutely sure that anybody who was negative is negative and they have nothing to worry about. But this is how stupid that is. Because you could be negative today when you take your test, and by the time you get your results, you've already got it. That's how stupid this whole thing is, right? But they want to take all these other people. Now you couple that with the fact that all these other people have died, which is horrible, but keep in mind that in America, on average, 1.8 million people die every day. We've got 350 million people in this country with an average life expectancy of less than 100 years, which means statistically, we're going to lose 3.5 million people every year, and we've been averaging 1.8. So we're doing pretty good. And
our birth rate is under 2. Yeah, the birth rate's under 2. Our population growth is based on immigration.
I'm not even talking about population growth. I'm talking about the actual number of deaths. And so all of this combined, and then you have, okay, well, did this person test positive? Well, if you put it through this super sensitive test, then it's like, okay, because now we have the CDC saying, you know, 95% of these people who were reported as died of COVID didn't actually die of COVID. They might not have even had it because the tests are oversensitive. They're, you know, it's like when you have a statistic that says plus or minus 5% or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like they're saying, no, this is like plus or minus 20% or 30%. Like they're like, that's how many people actually have it. And then, so yeah, it's fucking insane. But anyway, so I totally went on a tangent there. I have no idea what I was talking about.
Plenty of things to go off on tangents about.
Yeah, but that just makes me fucking angry. And that, I mean, I guess that goes to your point, right? Oh, I'm angry. Oh, this is what I don't like about these articles, though. So this article, like all of these articles that are out there, what they're attempting to do is they're attempting to make us think that all the same way, remember the hysteria after 9/11, all Muslims are part of Al-Qaeda and they all want to kill us and they hate us for our freedom. When they read an article like this, oh, the Boogaloo Boys, they're into trafficking weapons to Hamas. They're trying to create this.
And the illusion that they're terrorists. Yeah, because most people aren't really
all of them
educated.
Me and you.
They just watch TV and. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They want us to look like it.
When I was there, they had guns to protect themselves. Whatever. This is something I learned very early on. Whatever government can point at you, you should be able to point at it. Okay? I think that's a nice way to think about gun rights. So they were distributing guns to anybody willing to help, anybody who lived there, and with whatever resources they had. That is what they were doing. Although we dangle the shiny object over people and say, yeah, they're funneling weapons to fictional terrorist organizations. That's where the problem is, which they weren't.
I mean, where's that end? Like people who teach self-defense classes, it's like, oh, you knew that one of your students was one of your students told you he was a member of Hamas and you still taught him hand to hand combat.
Guilt by association. Yeah.
It's fucking nuts where this is going. But
the three generations rule of North Korea applied to this logic. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Mm-hmm. What do we do?
It's fucking bullshit,
man. The best we can do. How do we build a giant bail fund for people going through these things so it's easy to get them out?
And look at this. You want to talk about that? How about these organizations who are like they're creating bail funds like that for Antifa, like not for fake Hamas. For real Antifa, for real people who were throwing Molotov cocktails, and like they're able to fundraise for that. These people are all considered okay. There's no federal charges. There's like none of this shit, because of course that shit's all run by the Democrats.
I'm gonna kind of yell again.
And the prosecutors are they're members of these two parties, right?
This is what I'm upset about. Okay, taxation theft is. Flag in the background. Everybody knows my story. The Libertarian Party needs to, I think, maybe do a better job of protecting its own. Ryan was on the state committee of North Carolina, running for state vice chair when I met him. Younger than me, I was impressed. I'm a county chairman, and he was running for state vice chair. And when he was marching around North Carolina with all these guns, North Carolina State Committee said, we can't have someone on active duty on the state committee. And they all collectively shunned him off the state committee. And here he is now. I wish he had a bigger sense of community that would have supported him. And maybe even all at once talked him out of talking to that terrorist person. What are we going to do to build a bailout fund for air quote our own?
Right.
What are we going to do?
And it needs to be in Bitcoin because I mean there was the guy
accept Bitcoin?
No, well, it can be transferred. But my point is this: there was a GoFundMe for one of these guys who got arrested. And GoFundMe shut it down because they didn't like the content, even though all these absolute nutcases are raising money for their defense funds. But you have a good guy I knew who it was. It was that kid Kyle who got arrested for shooting those three people. He had a defense fund on GoFundMe that they shut down. GoFundMe shut it down. Meanwhile, they have defense funds for the people who are arrested for throwing Molotov cocktails at people.
So he had his own defense fund prepared. What happened to the funds that people had already donated?
I think they get refunded. Anything that he hasn't withdrawn. This is the same thing.
What are we learning? What are we learning? Withdraw your funds immediately if you're going to put something like this.
But
online.
I think they also take a few days to clear. I think what we're really learning is use fucking Bitcoin.
How do we transfer that to cash? Because the courts don't accept
Yeah, we still
Who bails people out using Monero? Nobody.
Somebody's got to. I mean, shit, you or me could do it. If it's in my town or your town,
ticket in Ethereum. I mean, it is a innovative thought, but we have
you change the money out
to the USD.
You get your cash out
of it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, so somebody will do it. The same person that goes down there to bail them out is the same person who first goes to the Bitcoin exchange, exchanges it for cash, and then goes down there and bails them out.
Yep.
I hope
there's bail for them.
Set up a GoFundMe. I mean, you're close enough to these guys. I think that you could.
That's the thing. We don't know if there's bail yet. They got to decide tomorrow for the judge in Minneapolis.
Start raising that money anyway, because they're going to need it for lawyers. I can guarantee you that. They're going, if they take a public defender, pardon my French, but they're going to a federal pound me in the ass prison, no question about it.
Are prepared to help with this. Hey, I've started GoFundMes before. I've never raised $100,000 doing anything. So if people listening to this show are prepared to help with this particular case that I am connected to, message me on Twitter, Luke M as in marshmallow, at Luke M Winky, WENKE. Just go find me on Twitter, connect me. I had much, much bigger Facebook audience before Facebook shut me down. I have less than 600 people on Twitter. So if anyone on Twitter can just reach out to me so we can push this GoFundMe once we get it going. Hey, I'm ready to help. So please message me.
Are you telling me you're a nobody?
That's
why,
the
why are you on
that's
my show? I'm hanging up on you.
Abilities. Bye bye everybody.
I'm fucking with you, man.
Now I'm being shut off. Yeah. That's the thing. That's another problem is after I got back from Minneapolis, I what happened was I had three Facebook profiles. One was my 12-year-old personal profile. The other one was like a libertarian profile. And the other one was a profile of me where I posted pictures of myself in leather and rubber. So as soon as I got back from Minneapolis, Facebook targeted my three profiles. Oh, one person can't have many profiles. And I was the idiot that put in the same cell phone number for all three. Facebook shut them down. And I've submitted my driver's license to Facebook for the proof that it's me. And they haven't opened back up yet. So I've been trying to find a hacker to open it back up. But that's the thing. Without my thousands and thousands and thousands of people I had on Facebook, my promotional abilities suck. I have less than 600 people on Twitter. You can't really just – it's Facebook's easy. You just get in a group and go blah, 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 and everybody sees you. Twitter, like even with hashtags, it's hard to get out to thousands of people unless it's already trending. So my promotional abilities suck. So we could really use help.
All right, so
prepared to help. It's fun.
If somebody's listening and is interested in helping with this, send me a message and we'll figure something out.
Yeah, or me. I don't care.
I'm reading some of the comments and questions and everything here.
Read them for me. If people have questions for me, I'll answer.
How can Bitcoin not be fucked with? People become the money based on time. I don't know what that means. I refused to give my ID. Eventually, they gave me my profile back.
Bitcoin goes up and down. It's not to me. I like Ether.
Well, yeah, but so does the dollar. Oh yeah. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Let's see.
Are there any questions for me about the situation?
We should print our own money. Somebody says,
how do we counterfeit money, you guys? If you want to counterfeit, reach out to me.
Are you running for governor of Iroquois? And do you have a billboard?
Because upstate New York is not yet the state of Iroquois, I am the copyrighted governor of Iroquois. And so therefore it is a privatized position. In order to fulfill 51st statehood, we have to socialize my copyright and commit an act of eminent domain over my copyright. So, run for governor of Iroquois. I am the governor of Iroquois. You're going to have to socialize my privatized position. Larry Sharp peels over. I'll run for governor of Iroquois from the governor of New York position the same way I ran for county executive from the coroner position, the first video Dan ever did with me last year. So I could run for governor of Iroquois in a very elaborate way.
I'm so lost. You're running for two positions at the same time?
2019. Let's go back. People, maybe they're new to me. Last year, my first time on your show, October 2019, I was the Libertarian County Chairman of here in Cattaraugus County, the wonderful jungles, which I am a seventh generation resident of. Okay. I ran for coroner simply to boost up our number of candidates in this county so I could be like, woohoo, we're the top performing fringe third party over here. I ran for coroner. I politicized the position. And at the end of the year, the actual coroner's wife sent me a picture on Facebook of a mug with one of the memes I made of the incumbent coroner. I called his name is Howie Van Rensselaer. I called him Howie Van Wrestler. And it's just his face over a big wrestler. He's going to demolish Van. So, yeah, last year I ran for coroner, but we don't have a county. We don't have a county executive. I have something I'm thinking about doing next year. We don't have a county executive in this county. So the county legislator picks among itself who their figurehead will be. Last year I ran for coroner and I felt stupid. So I said, let's give this meaning. And I ran for county executive from the coroner position. I'm having fun running for non-existent government positions next year. All I need to do is put a question on the back of the ballot. Should Cattaraugus County democratically elect its county executive? Make myself the public face of the movement. Put my face on billboards. Oh, look, I'm the unopposed candidate for county executive. And everybody in all my local Facebook groups that hate me will just go, boo. And I'll say, too bad, I'm running unopposed. You got to listen to me. if that should Cattaraugus County democratically elect its county executive, if that gets a yes, like Proposition 1, we'll call it, if that gets yes next year, that may force the county legislator to form an executive position all because I did that. So I've been thinking about doing that next year.
This sounds like a bunch of like really complicated bullshit, man. Like,
yeah, when you put like these little square papers you put on your tongue, this is the stuff you think about. Running for non-existent positions. how to do it.
I think there's something like 600,000 elected positions in the United States. So I don't think you're the only one doing that. And I think that's why we have, it's fucking insane.
That's not enough. I should run for Killbuck, New York comptroller. I should do that.
That do they is not a have Killbuck. A comptroller?
Maybe we need to make one.
I mean, do they have a treasurer?
No, they don't. Killbuck, New York used to have a post office decades ago. And it's like there.
Wait, there's a city like with a Hamlet or something. There's a city that doesn't have a post office?
Well, like, I mean, there's cities, there's towns, there's villages, there's hamlets. So,
oh my God. But this place doesn't have a post office.
Am I breaking news here?
This is the fucking American dream. Okay. Are you telling me there's a place in America that doesn't have a post office?
Here in New York State, this is Obama's fault. You can live here in New York State. You can live in Carrollton. Let's use this county for example. You can live in Carrollton. That's the town where my grandmother was a independent judge. Okay, her postal office address was Allegheny. So you can live in the jurisdiction of a town, have a post office from another town. And you can like live in post office two different towns. Killbuck is an entity. I don't even know if it has a mayor, or usually towns and villages have a supervisor in New York State. Yeah, you can live in Killbuck and use the Salamanca post office. Yeah, that's a thing all over New York State. So I know it's not like that in other states.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're gonna get their fucking ballots in with this mail-in shit.
Should we? Should 6-year-old Gibson talk about how stupid virtual school is now?
Oh yeah, actually, yeah. Let's hear about that.
Should we interview him? My 6-year-old brother Gibson. I'm 28. He's 6. We got different dads. He likes parkour, everybody.
Are you enjoying your virtual schools? You don't have to go and sit in a classroom?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Is it better?
Is it because like they don't know when you're sleeping during class?
It's worse. Tell them why it's worse. Thousands of people are watching.
Because of the coronavirus.
Yeah. He hates wearing a mask too. are masks stupid?
Mm-hmm. Do you have to wear your mask during virtual class?
Mm-hmm.
You have to wear your mask on the camera?
Yeah, everything. No, not on virtual, but only on when I go inside classes. That's it.
Oh, well, yeah, when they go in school. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, so is it like part-time on, part-time off?
Well, for him, it's like the first 2 weeks of school right now, it's all online. And I think Monday, Tuesdays, they're going to be in person. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're going to continue with the virtual stuff.
So you can catch corona on Monday and Tuesday, but not on Wednesday, Thursday,
every
Friday.
Single school district is, really. Every single school district is doing it different. And some schools are all virtual. Salamanca is doing it in person 2 days, online 3 days, whatever. Yeah, it's stupid. We talk about how stuff is stupid like this. This is what we talk about. Gibson's going to be introduced to this stuff on your show.
Oh my god! Send the kids to school with the Wavo and just have them they won't get corona. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Just give them chicken bones and like have them do some voodoo ritual like during class and like that'll prevent them from getting corona. Like this is how stupid all this nonsense is. This is absolute horse shit. All right, so
are there any questions for any of us? What kind of questions are there?
I don't know.
Take questions. Yeah, we gotta listen to the armchair politicians of the comment section. Right. What's coming in?
Someone's asking about your billboard.
My billboard?
Your billboard. Do you have a billboard?
Well, I said I was going to run for county executive next year, even though we don't have a county executive. And I was having billboard ideas. Just people that know me, they see me in my big stupid fedora and my pea coat. So I'll just do that picture of myself. And I'll say, with Luke Winkie as county executive, we'll make millions fracking in Cattaraugus County. You don't even know what fracking is. He doesn't even know what fracking is. He laughs. Fracking is illegal in this part of the world. And
that sounds like a bad word.
Mother frackers.
Okay.
Yeah, I could buy billboards. That's what I was talking about.
Here's one that's got your name on it. It's being said that Wenke set these guys up. What's his response to these allegations? Why did Wenke? I feel like you already answered this. You feel like it
why
was
would I
unintentional.
Set, why would I set up people I give a shit about?
Yeah, why it sounds like it was unintentional and you're
I wanted
not
to,
too
I
happy
wanted
about
to
that.
Knock out, I wanted to knock out... If that's Chris Zelensky, I swear to God. No, I was trying to knock out the...
Oh, he says, why did you try setting me up with the feds too? This is Jason Lawless.
Who?
Jason Lawless.
Who? That's Jason a Lawless. Fake profile. This is the Chris Zelensky circle. No, I did not set up anybody with FBI.
Oh, he said he missed the first
I
part.
I wanted to...
Yeah. But I mean, you made the introduction and you said you feel remorse for that. But it's not.
I feel remorse for the fact that I led this Ahmed guy to them. Yeah, that's what the problem is.
Yeah,
and I told him to stay away from them.
That's valid. I think setting up, that's kind of the question of intent.
No,
I guess.
He said that Jason Lawless. I remember that profile. It's a fake profile.
Let's see.
Isn't that funny? I remember this.
Oh man. All right. This is just fucking nuts. All right, man. So bottom line, everybody, don't be pissed off at the Boogaloo. Oh, this is what I wanted to say earlier. Because you were talking about, we were talking about like libertarians needing to have like some sort of a bailout fund, which yeah, I'm pretty sure like all the Democrats and Republicans do. Although I don't know, they give people $15 an hour to throw Molotov cocktails at buildings and they're just like, I don't care if they go to prison. We've got so many more of them willing to do it. They're nobody important. Right. Mm-hmm. But this is something that I've seen before. As soon as somebody gets arrested and especially like in this case, bear in mind, absolutely nobody was harmed, right? Nobody was harmed.
Yeah.
Like, nobody was hurt. Compared to like the police who actually killed people, the protesters who are actually throwing Molotov cocktails and burning down buildings. Nobody was yeah, actually
they, yeah,
her.
Yeah, they, these two talked about doing it. Yeah, they talked about doing it and all those phone calls. And the highest level of activity was the exchange of the suppressors, yeah.
But you have a lot of people who are in that class who will say, I want nothing to do with this person. And I've seen this, like, with not just with this, I've seen it with people saying one thing and then all of a sudden everybody pulls their support. As if like, oh, these are terrible people and never
culture.
And this is what I don't get. The libertarians are anti-government. What does it say? What is the statement of principles? Hold on, I want to read this. Right? Because the government is accusing this guy of being anti-government. Right?
Yeah. But destruction on behalf of whatever cause they're after.
We, the members of the Libertarian Party, challenge the cult of the omnipotent state.
Well, yeah.
This is an anti-government organization. It's not a violent anti-government organization, but it is an anti-government organization. And you read this article, and a lot of the shit that they say about these guys is that they were anti-government.
Yeah, because most people aren't. And so I think it's just...
And then libertarians want to go and turn their backs on them because, oh, they're anti-government. But you're a fucking libertarian. No, you're supposed to be anti-government too.
The libertarians... Oh, my God. Libertarians, they're just comment section people sometimes. They get a little upset to see someone actually living what we're trying to preach.
Yeah.
Like when I go put my stupid rubber on and, oh my God, isn't that just horrendous? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like kicking people off the state committee simply because they have a gun in public. Like,
you libertarians,
like that. Yeah,
sorry.
Sometimes, yeah, I mean, no, most of you are fine watching, but sometimes you just get your little pussies out there who see, oh my God, they're just oversensitive and we have to be professional people. The Mises style stuff, right? We need to buck up.
I get it. I get it if that's your opinion on the way things should be. But at no point do you say, I'm not going to support this person because I don't believe that what they did was right. Because as soon as...
Because they're living what they preach.
As soon as you're at the barrel, at the tip of the barrel of the government's gun, why would anybody else support you when you've already turned your back on everybody else?
Yeah.
And I get it. We're all different. We're not all the same. We don't have all these all the same interests. But we got to help each other out. Libertarians, anarchists.
And that's the thing. Whatever happens to whatever you give the world, you get back. You know, if you're going to be a good person, you get it back. How about people kind of step forward and be the good person to begin with so we see a sense of community that's much better?
And it doesn't take a lot. I mean, like sometimes you say, yeah, that's really terrible what happened to that guy. Like, that's it. Just, you don't even have to do anything. Just say like, oh yeah, that was really terrible. Because I see a lot of people that are like, yeah, well, fuck that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does that accomplish?
Wait. Yeah. Are people saying that in your comment section?
No. I mean, some people...
Just overall, you'll
yeah,
see
not
it.
On this video, yeah. But I've seen it on this. I've seen the same thing on Kyle. There are a lot of libertarians that were against Kyle the shooter. A lot of libertarians and pot smokers and pot advocates were against my friend who got wrapped up in
actually,
that
like
shit.
That, like that Kyle guy, right? So he's like on the side of the police, and he sees the angry mobs as the new normal, and he's like, hell no. So
he's a fucking bootlicker.
I got to sympathize with him, too.
But I'm still defending what was right.
His intentions, he wants peace. His intentions, he wants peace. Yeah, this mob chaos can stop. Like when that mob of people was shaming the people in the restaurant for not raising their fist and saying Black Lives Matter or something. No, that's just the opposite.
That's fucking insane. Like, I'll even look, as much as I talk shit about cops, I saw a sheriff. I saw a video of two sheriffs, two deputies. I think it was like a home domestic dispute, whatever. Two deputies are there. One of them is trying to take this guy's gun away that like has nothing to do with what's going on. He's just trying to take the gun away, or maybe it was a traffic stop or something. And the other deputy said, no, you don't take his gun away. And he's like, but why not? I want to take his gun away. And he's like, you don't take his gun away. You're violating his rights. You don't. And like, that is like, that's amazing. I support that as much as I hate cops and sheriffs and everything else. I don't hate sheriffs as much as I hate cops, but as much as all of that stuff, for him to be able to stand up for what was right, like, I got to give him kudos for that. And if you can't, if you like, if it's like, if you look at everything and you try to judge every single action based on the person or the person on the action and just try to like, try to just get your fucking virtual signaling, like.
Oh, everybody, if it's just controversial, yeah, we have to have this 9-to-5 lifestyle. Anyone that steps out of that boundaries anywhere is just awful. Yeah, that state of mind. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Fucking nuts. All right. Like I said in the warning, this you're not supposed to watch this show because it's going to get your blood pressure up and a bunch of other shit. And I think
usually we have happier shows together. This is our third show together. Usually we're happy.
Victim. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my God, he's got a deadly metal stick in his hand.
I'm just like this. I'm like, yeah, everyone just come see me at Peppermint's.
This is just like, yeah, it's fucking frustrating. Anyways.
If anyone wants to be cheered up, just come to the Canadian side of Niagara Falls soon. I am cooperating, and I'm going to get my Canadian work visa, and you can just see me on a pole. So that'll make us happier.
Ooh,
after listening to this show.
Sick fucking status.
I'm very sick.
You're going to get a work permit? You're going to ask for permission to work that pole?
Yes. Otherwise, this club
won't let
me be there.
That's disgusting.
So, go complain to Canada. Go complain to Tim Mullen or whatever his name is.
Tim Mullen's awesome. But yeah, that's it. Hey. And actually, speaking of sex work, who posted that? ACLU posted sex work is real work on their Twitter.
Yeah, I've seen that stuff before.
Yesterday. That's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
ACLU is pretty big. It's not some little libertarian fan club. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. I just want to ask you again one more time. Please, if you want to keep hearing this podcast, I'm not holding it hostage. I'm going to keep doing this anyway. But send me your support. Go to taxationstuff.cards. Get a really cool t-shirt, really cool hat, really cool something or other.
Yep.
If you're interested in a fundraiser for the Boogaloo bailout, which we're probably going to need coming up soon. We don't have one set up, but if you're someone that's interested in leading that,
if you have a large following, my Twitter following sucks. Dan's is a little bigger than mine. If you have a much bigger social media following, so we can push the GoFundMe. Yeah, yours is not like 100,000 people. I gotta say, but you do get good reach. You do get better reach than me. if anybody has a bigger audience, yeah, we can get GoFundMe going.
Yeah, let's help these guys out. And even if I know there's a chance that, yeah, maybe they're just not good guys. From what I know of them, they're not bad guys. But whatever, there's always a chance. Let's at least make sure they get a fair trial and that this isn't the government trying to just totally just fuck us up and totally give libertarians and the Boogaloo and everybody else bad names. Subscribe, share, copy,
good
follow.
People wrapped up in nonsense.
What's that?
Oh, I was just saying, for my judgment, good people caught up in very bad times.
Yeah. Led astray by the fucking government. Like, share, follow, comment, tag, copy, paste, stuff it in a bottle full of gasoline and throw it at somebody. I don't know. Don't do that. I'm probably going to get the feds knocking down my door for that.
Just don't do it in the presence of an undercover.
Yes. Share this with people. Let them know that taxation is theft. And this is the show that if their blood pressure is too low, they can come listen to the show and we'll help them get it up. See, medical benefits. We can cure your low blood pressure. Oh, shit. I just said cure, and I'm going to get sued by the FDA now.
If your blood pressure is already high, it was nice knowing you.
Yeah, you are going to explode.
Because you're just
going to
die watching this.
All right, guys. Thank you again so much. I'll catch you tomorrow night. We've got let me do this. Let me do a plug for tomorrow night. We've got Mr. Pink, who's going to be talking to us about Keith Taylor and his shenanigans, where he actually had a hemp farm stolen from, or maybe it's a legal cannabis farm. It's really interesting, and there's some really big names involved in that. So we're going to hear about that tomorrow. Thursday, we've got Davey Parrish, who is running for tax collector. And he stuck billboards, speaking of billboards, he stuck a billboard next to the current tax collector who's running for re-election. He had a billboard up, whatever his name is, running for tax collector. Davy Parrish put a sign next to it saying, running for libertarian for tax collector, taxation is theft. So that's going to be awesome. And then Friday is September 11th, and we've got Adam Kokesh on. So that's going to be really awesome. So tune in for those, and I will see you soon. Taxation is theft. Get you later.